Spring is finally here, which means the days are getting longer and the nights are getting shorter. But if you have sleep apnea or share a bed with someone who does, you know that some nights can seem endless. If you have sleep apnea and you can't get relief from your CPAP machine, there is another option, and it doesn't require a mask or hose. It's called Inspire. Inspire is a revolutionary FDA-approved implantable device that works inside your body with your natural breathing process. It delivers mild stimulation throughout the night to keep your airway open, giving you and your partner the quiet, restful sleep you need. Inspire is FDA approved and is currently offered at more than 100 leading medical centers across the country. Visit inspiresleep.com to learn more, review important safety information, and to find a doctor who can help determine if Inspire is right for you. The freedom to sleep like everyone else is just a click away at inspiresleep.com. That's inspiresleep.com.
Next paint project, why settle for a new coat of paint? Try a new coat of armor. Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer at the Home Depot, starting at only $23.98 a gallon. When put to the test, Glidden Diamond stood up to 2,500 scrubs. That's a lot of soccer balls, muddy pets, and fingerprints. And that's one tough coat. We're pouring more into paint with unbeatable prices on scrubbable Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer from only $23.98 a gallon at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. Reinvent your home. Open your eyes to new possibilities and your mind to smarter ways of doing things. You'll find them at the Home Depot, where the next generation of home improvement makes its home. New products, new tools, and new technology that take home improvement into the 21st century. About the only thing we haven't reinvented is helping you do more for less. That's the same as it's always been. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flow.
The better you drive, the more you save. Bears and bats, they live in a cave, but that's irrelevant here. So back to the subject we steer. Snapshot saves you money when you drive safe. I wear corduroy pants. I don't mind that they chafe.
The better you drive, the more you can save with Snapshot from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
This Mother's Day, let Jared turn your feelings into jewelry. Jewelry that tells her she's the best thing that ever happened to you. In a way that goes beyond words. It could be a piece jewelry designers created just for Jared. Or a piece we custom made just for you. Because we're more than a store that sells beautiful jewelry. We're jewelers. The one unique gift that makes her Mother's Day unforgettable. That's why he went to Jared.
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, it's all about the playoffs, and the Wolves have advanced to the second round. Be there as they return home next Saturday for Game 5 at Allstate Arena. For playoff information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. The Cubs are scheduled to play in Colorado tonight. They start a road trip after the weekend sweep from the Yankees, but rain could be an issue tonight. Jake Arrieta opposes Antonio Zenzatela. First pitch at 7:40. Mark Rohde will have your pregame right here in the Score starting at 7:05. The White Sox are off today. They begin a six-game homestand tomorrow with Minnesota coming to town. In hockey, the Penguins host the Capitals game 6 tonight in their series. Pittsburgh leads 3-2. AHL game 4 at Grand Rapids. Wolves are down 2-1. Puck drops just after 6. In the NBA this evening, the Warriors going for a sweep in Utah. Rockets center Nene, he's out for the rest of the playoffs with a groin injury. That Houston-San Antonio series is tied at 2 apiece. And your Chicago Bears. One NFL note for you. They've signed linebacker Dan Skuda to a 1-year deal. Skuda is an 8-year veteran playing the last 2 seasons with Jacksonville. This scoreboard update is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Join the Score's Lawrence Holmes at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village Wednesday from 6 to 10 p.m. for a live broadcast. Hang out with Lawrence and win Score prizes. It's all brought to you by Sam Adams. I'm Matt Batacola, and you're listening to 670 The Score. We're celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Cubs. The next game on The Score is tonight, 7:05, Cubs and Rockies, right here on Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by the Grossinger Auto Group. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
Let's see if Schwarber now can get the game tied, or possibly with an extra base hit, he could give the Cubs a win. The pitch to Schwarber. Swing and a miss. Strike three.
Boy, Chapman just rears back. He throws that high heater. And Kyle, you know, he gets those hands going down and then back up. And he just couldn't quite catch up with that high fastball from Chapman right at the top of the zone.
His on base is still over 300. His batting average is what's down. So he's over 100 points higher on base over batting average. So he's going to hit. When anybody's struggling like that, like he has been, I often tell the player takes one at bat to have a great night.
Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
Let's fix Kyle Schwarber, shall we? I don't think that's too much to ask. We are going to do that with Nick Stellini, who writes for Fangraphs. You can follow him on Twitter at StelliniTweets. You hear him now on the Home Run Inn Pizza Hotline. The champions are back. Cheer them on at Home Run Inn in Wrigleyville, just blocks from the park. Hello, Nick.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good. I'm looking at this slash line here, and I see 198, 321 on base, 379 slugging. It is a weighted on base average of just 310 and an anemic weighted runs created plus for a guy who is here just because of his bat. That stands right now at 88. What's wrong? What can we do?
Well, it's a complicated question in terms of what's wrong. I mean, there could be some sort of nagging thing that we don't know about. But it seems that, you know, I wrote about this last week, and that the one thing you notice with Kyle Schwarber right now is that he's not pulling the ball as often. Last year he pulled, well, not last year, but in 2015 when he had that run of success, he pulled the ball with authority. This year he's kind of spraying it all over the field. And, you know, there's some guys that works for, and for Schwarber, I mean, it seems it's just he's not making quality contact right now. He's not, you know, driving the ball with authority. And maybe the way for Kyle Schwarber to do that is to simply just pull the ball and whack it towards the right field wall like he did in the past. And we certainly know he has the power to do that. I mean, we've seen him hit some pretty big home runs to right field this year. And he can hit it out to all fields, but, you know, if you look at his spray chart from 2015, a lot of his hits were to the pull side. And this could be a reaction to opposing teams putting a shift on him and saying, okay, we're going to take away the right side of the field. But, I mean, there's ways to beat that. One way is to go all over the field right now, which he's doing. It doesn't seem to be working, or you just hit it over the shift, which easier said than done. But that seems to be the main thing I'm noticing. But, I mean, there could be a lot of things going on.
Yeah, the first thing I would think after reading some of your piece is, okay, what are the physical things that are happening here? Is this making up for anything that might still be happening with his knee or not being comfortable with certain things? Is there an element of that involved here?
I mean, there might be. I don't know for sure. I mean, I'm not a doctor. Mm-hmm. I mean, just from watching some of his swings this year, he looks fine. But just, you know, from a physical standpoint, but that could be a part of it. And so maybe this naturally evens out as the season progresses.
I wonder how much is also him deciding, as you posited, the idea of he just needs to make more contact and have fewer strikeouts and be a hitter rather than a slugger, and maybe that's not a good bet for him. And how much is the fact that the sample size is now increasingly informing opposing pitchers about what he wants to see, what he doesn't want to see, and when?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely could be a part of it. Like, if Joe Maddon using him out of the leadoff hole, and I understand why they're doing that, because he's a good on-base guy. Even with all the struggles, he's still putting up a 321 on base. And that's pretty good for a guy hitting under the Mendoza line. But it could be that there's a mental factor of him saying, okay, I'm the leadoff man, I have to, you know, spray the ball and just, you know, get on base so that people can knock me in. And it could be that that's messing with his hitter's mentality. And like you mentioned, the small sample size, it is only 137 plate appearances. And on top of that, I mean, before we saw him this year, I mean, he only had 278, you know, regular season plate appearances before 2017 started. So we hadn't exactly had a huge sample of Kyle Schwarber to begin with. And so, you know, he did miss all of last year with the injury, but it could also be that, okay, now that the scouting report is finally out. Between the almost 300 plate appearances in 2015, the five in the regular season last year, and then the playoffs. So, I mean, we haven't really had a chance to see a full season's worth of who Kyle Schwarber is in the big leagues. And so this could be part of the natural adjustment process.
Yeah, and there's also something to be made for before the injury. We didn't get a lot of him, and now after the injury, we haven't gotten a lot of him as well. Where do you think he should settle in as? I mean, we had people who were quoting front office members of the Cubs after having a couple of pops saying he's Babe effing Ruth, and that became legend. And, of course, what he does in the World Series is legendary as well. But where do you think he should settle in at?
I mean, for me, Schwarber is probably, I mean, when all is said and done, he's probably anywhere in the 240, 260 range. How good on base, obviously great power. I mean, his best defensive position is probably DH, but as long as he's with the Cubs, he's going to be playing left field. And so, I mean, he should be a good power bat when everything's settled in and everything's right. It's just a matter of getting to that point right now.
Yeah, the slugging component is where his OPS is going to come from for people who believe in OPS, even though we're, you know, different denominators there. I know that whole argument. But what your point seemed to be, the suggestion, not so subtle suggestion, is if you're a slugger, it's okay. It's okay to be a slugger, and that certainly doesn't mean more in the fashion, I guess, of the one-time fashionable three true outcome players, that maybe he fits the more of the mold of prime Adam Dunn or Jack Cust or one of those guys that we used to look at as it's going to be a home run, it's going to be a strikeout, or it's going to be a walk, and two of those are okay.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could be part of it. I think he's going to hit for more average than your typical Adam Dunn season. And you mentioned prime Adam Dunn. There were a few years where Adam Dunn did hit for average. Like in 2009, 267, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I think that might be where Schwarber settles in. And that's not a terrible comparison, actually. That's pretty good. And if the Cubs can squeeze out a good run of years of that, they'll be very, very happy. And there's no real problem with using that sort of profile in the leadoff spot because they're still generating on-base percentage. He's still getting on-base for guys like Bryant and Rizzo to knock in, but he's also going to, you know, hit a bunch out himself, and that's fine. Because, I mean, if you look at, you know, the deeper theory of lineup construction, there's a school of thought that, you know, where you put guys in the lineup at the end of the day really doesn't matter because everything evens out over the course of the season. But, I mean, it definitely could be that him batting in that spot is screwing with his head a little bit. And it's just a matter of, you know, everything evening out and him realizing, you know, I'm a big slugger. I need to slug. I need to drive the ball. I'm going to swing big, and you know, if you strike out, that's fine because you're still going to be generating a lot of offense.
I have mentioned a lot of statistics here. It's not all in the numbers. A lot of this, at least to me, is watching his reactions to certain pitches. And last year, the year before especially, the way he took pitches, especially velocity, especially when he's seeing a 93-mile-an-hour slider the whole way and spitting on it and getting great looks, I don't see that this year. I can't give you any metrics to back that up, but it just doesn't look the same. It doesn't look like whether pitchers, I just have him slightly off. There's just some in-between swings. There's some late decisions to swing. There are some takes that look worse. That so a lot of this is trying to put together what the numbers are showing us and what the tape is showing us as well. I don't know if you're seeing the same things I am.
I mean, I don't watch him as often as you guys do, obviously. But when I have watched the Cubs, I kind of noticed that a little bit. And I mean, if he's not comfortable, it's clearly being played out in his production numbers. I mean, if you're hitting 198, you're probably not overly comfortable at the plate at the moment. And no, it might just be a matter of him trying to get his legs back under him, you know, literally and figuratively. I have confidence in Kyle Schwarber in the long run. I mean, I definitely think he's at his core, a very good ball player. I think this too shall pass.
Well, we will take that as an optimistic tone with which we can end our conversation. And I hope you're right. Nick, thank you very much for the analysis and the time.
Thanks for having me on.
That is Nick Stellini of Fangraphs.
What do you think is more likely to bounce back to what we expect it to be? Kyle Schwarber as a hitter, the Cubs defense, or the Cubs starting pitching?
Defense. Because I don't know what the expectations really are. We haven't seen enough of Schwarber to know. It's just not. If Schwarber had been in the league 4 years with an established track record of what he is as a major league hitter, I would.
But there were certain expectations.
Correct.
I was expecting from everything that I'd seen and the legend. I mean, his legend grew while he was gone. to be honest with you. It was like, sure, can you believe what this lineup is going to be when they get a 30-plus home run guy back?
No question.
Yeah, so, you know, we don't talk about average like that anymore, so I was thinking somewhere around 240, 250. You know, get on base at a pretty good clip and hit 30-plus home runs if you can find enough spots in the lineup for him.
I need you on base 350 as my leadoff guy. I mean, I'm not asking for 400, but I need, if you're gonna slug, give me an 850 OPS.
How much does the team miss Dexter Fowler?
Obviously a lot, right? You go, we go. He went and they're not going.
You know, and I was, I'll say, late to the Al Almora train. But this weekend, in watching him, you know, as closely as I needed to, the other guys like Bryant and Russell and Schwarber and Rizzo, those guys have gotten a lot of fanfare, and rightfully so. They're terrific players. But there's something about watching Albert Almora do the right thing seemingly in every moment. I know that's just, you know, my bias from watching him in recency and all that other stuff. But there's something in watching him where I feel like I can trust him to do the right thing, whether it be on the base paths, whether it be, you know, hitting a cutoff man, flagging down everything out there in the outfield, and also at the plate, which I wasn't prepared for. You know, I thought he was going to be the guy who's like, all right, just chill. We'll find a spot for you. You'll be a late inning guy where you can track down all the fly ball. But that Manny Ramirez slash
little finish on there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Slash, you know, right handed David Justice kind of thing where,
well, that's not bad.
He doesn't have the larap where it goes over the back of his head.
Griff.
Yeah, exactly.
The helicopter.
Yeah, but watching him, man, he's one of the top prospects in baseball. Was one of the top prospects in baseball. And watching the base running play that he had late in the World Series. But that dude, I am quickly becoming a bigger fan every single time I watch him play baseball.
The fact
that
you got the word larap and you used it as a noun in that case, I believe. But to larap, I mean, it was wasn't Lou Gehrig larapin' Lou?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's mm-hmm. just a great antiquated baseball word. I love that.
Every time I watched David Justice swing, I thought his arm was going to jump out of the socket.
That's
every
such
single
a,
time.
Such a great
it's
word.
A good word.
And let the record show Dexter Fowler has pretty much sucked a big one, too. His slash line this year, right. 221, 299 on base, 404 slugging for a 302 weighted on base average.
Tell me when you're
done. And a weighted runs created plus of 84.
Tell me when you're done. 14 what? And a half million.
Oh, I'm not mad at him.
No, I'm not messing
Come
with
on.
You. I'm messing with you.
This has been brought to you.
He had to do what he had to do.
By the Power Shares.
He hates St. Louis, probably.
Series. You can see tennis legends John McEnroe, Andy Roddick, Jim Courier, and Mark Philippoussis compete May 17th at USC Pavilion. Tickets and VIP packages are available at PowerSharesSeries.com and Ticketmaster.com. Dan Hayes is going to catch us up on all things White Sox at 4:40. Mm-hmm. We still have another $50 gift certificate for Pro Flowers to give away, and you're going to take care of somebody, too, with a $50 Sherry's Berries gift certificate between now and 6 o'clock on the Bernstein and Golf Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
World champion Cubs manager Joe Maddon talks with the Spiegel and Parkin Show tomorrow at noon on The Score.
I don't lose faith that easily. I really believe in trends in the course of the season. Look at the back of their baseball cards. They're going to come back to who they're supposed to be, so I'm not worried about it.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. Brought to you by State Farm, here to help life go right, and by Sam Adams. Pursue better.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. Good news, bad news for boxing. Bad news, Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. was supposed to be one of the fights of the year, but it was an absolute dog. And if you threw down for it, you got jammed. But it was almost as if the powers that be knew how disappointing that was for the entire sport, because no sooner than it ended, they quickly announced the fight that everybody's been waiting on, Canelo versus Triple G. Better late than never, but we get it in September, and given their styles, I can almost guarantee that that fight is going to deliver, because that's what boxing used to be about. That's what makes the UFC so great, because Dana White makes sure that the best fights do get made. Something that used to happen in boxing, but rarely does now. And if boxing is to have any chance of being what it once was, and to compete with MMA and the UFC, these are the types of fights that have to be made. Because as bad as Saturday night was for the sport, this is just as outstanding for it. I'm Jim Rome.
Put hospice eligibility guidelines and fast, secure referrals at your fingertips. Download the free VITAS healthcare app from the Apple Store or Google Play. Just search VITAS, V-I-T-A-S.
history.
This week in 1984, the USSR announced it will not participate in the Los Angeles Summer Olympics. Mario Andretti recorded the fastest Indianapolis 500 lap to date at over 220 miles per hour this week in 1988. This week in 1992, jockey Angel Cordero retired after winning over 7,000 horse races. And this week in 2001, in Ghana, 129 soccer fans died in a stampede stemming from a controversial decision by the referee.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, so show all the moms you love, from your mother to your daughter and grandmother, just how sweet they are with a gift from Vermont Brownie Company. You can choose from seven decadent flavors, including maple toffee crunch, peanut butter, and their famous dark chocolate brownie that beat world-renowned chef Bobby Flay. And who wouldn't want to beat Bobby Flay? Every brownie is baked in Vermont using local farm-fresh ingredients and rich Belgian chocolate. And every Vermont brownie gift is delivered fresh with Mother's Day packaging. Right now, order a dozen brownies for Mother's Day and get 11 gourmet caramels free. Just use code 2222 at checkout. That's code 2222. Ordering is easy. Just visit VermontBrownie.com. Order now because this offer is only good this week. So go to VermontBrownie.com, order a dozen brownies, and get 11 gourmet caramels free. Just use code 2222. Delivery is guaranteed, but you must order today.
CBS Thursday.
Welcome.
TV's number one comedy, The Big Bang Theory, brings you scientific breakthroughs.
A medium-sized asteroid is still an interesting discovery.
I suppose it could end up on a collision course with Earth and destroy life as we know it.
Ingenious inventions.
Our idea's really good.
I cooked it in the easy bake oven of my mind.
And fascinating facts.
For every action, you have a gigantic and annoying reaction.
Just when I thought you couldn't get me hotter.
Don't miss The Big Bang Theory, CBS Thursday, or stream it live or on demand.
This week in sports history. This week in 1945, the formation of the U.S. Negro Baseball League was announced. Octagonal boxing rings were tested to avoid corner injuries this week in 1967. That same week in 67, Muhammad Ali was indicted for refusing induction into the U.S. Army. This week in 1973, Ernie Banks filled in for the Cubs manager who was ejected, technically becoming baseball's first black manager. Reggie Jackson became the first major leaguer to strike out 2,000 times this week in 1983.
CBS Monday, get to know Team Scorpion.
We missed the fireworks?
About to start.
It's the Brainiacs.
Remember when you called me a nerd before? Get ready to apologize.
Versus the Maniacs.
You're being smart with me?
We're smart with everybody.
The only thing better than a genius.
Who are you people?
We're the guys you picked last in gym class.
Is a team of them.
We are a man of contingencies. What would you do?
Freak the heck out. Scorpion.
Together we can do things that no one else can do.
CBS Monday, or stream it live or on demand.
Play.it presents Showtime Sports.
Showtime!
Three podcasts connecting you with top athletes in professional sports. On the Record with Paul Rivera.
We'll cover sport, we'll cover music, we'll cover culture, we'll cover the lifestyle.
A viewpoint that you don't get anywhere else.
From Brooklyn to the World with Pauly Malignaggi.
Many of you know me not only as a boxer, but as a commentator, broadcaster.
And The Reveal with Mark Kriegel.
When you sit down with fighters, more on a personal level.
They give up a little piece of their soul.
Download and subscribe to Showtime Sports at Play.it and iTunes.
Original reporting sets us apart on the CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley.
We always ask ourselves on every story we do, is it right? Is it fair? Is it honest?
Top advisors admit the president was at a crossroads.
These strikes could backfire.
The experience that we have makes our broadcast unique.
Smoke from this fire is simply intense.
They've been met with a heavy police presence here.
I want the audience to say, wow, that was worth my time. I learned something.
The CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley. Original reporting.
CBS Sunday. Don't miss Elementary.
It's been 5 years since you committed to being a detective.
Do I get a cake for that?
Holmes.
What do you and I do? It's not a job, it's a calling.
Watson.
The problem is that you think you're smarter than everyone else.
I am smarter than everyone else, demonstrably.
When these two get together.
I was gone for 5 minutes. You built a bomb?
My intention is to solve a murder.
It's anything but Elementary.
He's been really hard to catch, but he's going down today.
Quite.
Elementary. CBS Sunday. Or stream it live or on demand.
CBS Tuesday on NCIS.
What do you got?
fantastic news.
Make a date with America's favorite agents.
We're the dream team.
From quiet.
It's a secret.
And quirky.
My lab, my rules.
To naughty.
Can we just not talk about this right now?
And nerdy.
What the blazes is an email?
See why NCIS is the most watched drama on television.
Is that another coolest thing you've ever heard?
I'll second that.
NCIS, CBS Tuesday, or stream it live or on demand.
The CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley. Experience that sets us apart.
This was a gotcha attack, not a security breach.
Pilots warn against a rush to make changes.
Integrity that makes a difference.
The police agency Europol estimated that they're dealing with thousands of potential terrorists.
Bringing new understanding to complex stories.
The commanders here are worried that the extremists will launch a full-scale offensive.
The CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley. Original reporting.
Need legal advice from a reputable attorney? Send questions you want answered to cbschicago.com/legal advice and look online for free Legal Fridays with Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates. That's cbschicago.com/legal advice.
Geneva Cruise and Pub Crawl. Two lucky listeners and their guest.
CBS Sunday.
This is our Secretary of State.
We're going to make history.
Madam Secretary is a diplomat.
You must respect our process.
Let me lay out our process. You're going to open your gates or we're going to break them down.
A visionary.
It's only impossible if we fail to try. We need to take a stand.
And a patriot.
Mr. President, you need to win. You're going to need me as your Secretary of State.
Taya Leone is Madam Secretary.
Let's change the world.
CBS Sunday, or stream it live or on demand.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, this stuff with the Mets and Matt Harvey.
So I still can't say
wow.
it, right?
No, don't say the word. That really isn't what's important right now, because I think that's a distraction from what's actually going on. Whether or not he put a sex toy in a teammate's locker that ended up in a team-sanctioned photo isn't as significant, even though it gets headlines and it's funny and it's salacious. Ha, 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 plastic penis, right. Pretty so... funny. Apparently, Matt Harvey went golfing. Matt Harvey then came back. He went early in the day, came back from golfing, called the team, said he had a headache. And the team, according to John Heyman of FanRag, now they're saying that the team sent security people over to check his story. Over to make sure he was, because he's gone AWOL before.
Yes. Last year, there were a lot of stories. There were... running amok in the Big Apple about his lifestyle.
They apparently wanted to find out if he was telling the truth, right. If he actually said he went to sleep, and they tried to check him up on his story.
The Mets have seen things before.
Apparently the team had reason to doubt his veracity.
Right.
The team doesn't trust him. The team doesn't believe him. And just now, Mets manager Terry Collins was asked, do Matt Harvey's teammates respect him? And his answer was, I don't know. He said, I can't answer that. I don't know. Said he didn't want to speak for the whole team. And the Mets have an issue with the local media, because with all the injuries this year, with Syndergaard and everything, and Cespedes and everything, apparently, I guess they just can't get straight how they want to talk to people about injuries. They're sort of like the Bears. But according to the New York Post, they said two factors in not starting Harvey on Wednesday. Team wants him to throw a side session first, and they want to avoid a hostile environment. Which would be their home park. They say their own park would be a hostile environment for him. They won't say if the teammates respect him. This is...
now, and there's talks of him being suspended, or has he been suspended?
Three games.
Sports Illustrated has written about it, tweeted about it 5 hours ago. Rather than challenge the suspension, Matt Harvey needs to grow up and apologize to the Mets. This is from CBS Local New York. Mets fans and teammates want Matt Harvey to focus on baseball. I mean, we've seen these kinds of, you know, these kinds of code words used before when it comes to athletes, and you just hope that everything's okay in his personal life, because this was brought up last year when he had the drastic drop in velocity, and people are asking, did he care about baseball? Was he working out the way he was supposed to? Was he hurt? A lot of those things were coming up. So Matt Harvey's got, and let's face it, Mets fans, they've been through some things before. When it comes to, you know, phenom pitchers or talented players who the city kind of eats up every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a lot going on now. And SI MLB tweeted out, 4 years ago, Matt Harvey was an SI cover boy. How has it gone so wrong so quickly? So this is that time where you're going to find out if he's going to crack or if he's going to, you know, he's going to get back on the horse. Because it's horrific talent. The coldest game that I've ever sat through in Wrigley Field, 34 degrees. It was him against Arrieta. Okay. A couple of years ago, and Lenny gave me the tickets, and me and the lady went out there, and I kept asking her every inning, would you like to go home? She's like, no, we're here. I'm like, all right, because I would like to go home. I know you don't care about baseball as much as I do.
I'm on the record having asked.
Right.
And now I'm telling you how I feel.
Right, that's all I wanted.
I'm respectful of your feelings, but these are mine.
And he and Arrieta, you know, they were dueling, man, putting up zeros every single time. And a couple of years later, we're sitting here asking questions about it. And that was, they had the dream. This is the second time around that they've had the dream rotation and things, you know, bumps in the road. Was it Pulsifer, Wilson, and Ensinghausen, right?
That's right.
Was it 90s, early 90s? Is that early 90s or am I thinking mid-90s?
Mid-90s.
Early 90s, somewhere around there?
Mid-90s.
Hearing Harry butcher Ensinghausen's name and that kind of thing. I mean, you got four guys. You got four guys.
Well, Syndergaard's saying, I know my body. I don't need an MRI.
Uh-oh. You'll be out 6 to 8 weeks now, son.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't know the condition of your latissimus dorsi muscle.
Sure
you can't
does.
Just know
sure
that.
Sure he does. He knows his body.
Okay, well, that's like you say your car broke down. No, it didn't. I know my car. You want to take it to a garage? No.
Some old brother with a long 100 Newports, you know, bouncing off his lip. Come bring it around the back, six pack of Heineken. Put that carburetor in there for you, boy. And then you do that, and then you buy a new car 1 month later because he is nowhere to be found and his work was shoddy. All right, so when we come back, I want to ask you a question that you kind of brought up during the show, during one of the commercial breaks, and I'm starting to think about it. It might be a problem. Might be a problem.
What, something I... Yeah. Am I the problem?
Or No. You're okay. Not a problem at
okay.
all. You've never been a problem.
Does it have
man.
To do with shark humping or no?
I'm sure I could work it in.
Okay, good. I would expect nothing less.
Scoreboard update.
That's all right, Lawrence from the Chicago. I told you to stay right there. We're talking from the Chicago Wolves Update Studio. It's all about the playoffs, and the Wolves have advanced to the second round. Be there as they return home next Saturday for Game 5 at Allstate Arena. For playoff information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. The Cubs are scheduled to play at Colorado tonight. Rain could be an issue.
Alfrey Woodard is the name.
There it is.
Alfrey Woodard.
Thank you, sir. Luke Cage, we're having a little Luke Cage conversation. Rain could be an issue tonight for the Cubs in Colorado. Jake Arrieta opposes Antonio Zezantela. First pitch at 7:40. Mark Grody starts you off with a pregame at 7:05. The White Sox are off today. They begin a six-game homestand tomorrow with Minnesota coming to town. In hockey, the Penguins host the Capitals game 6 tonight. Pittsburgh leads that series 3-2. AHL game 4 at Grand Rapids. Wolves down 2-1. Puck drops just after 6. In the NBA, the Warriors going for a sweep in Utah tonight. And Rocket center Nene, he's out for the rest of the playoffs with a groin injury. One of the worst you can have. And Houston-San Antonio series, that's tied at 2-2. One NFL note for you. Your Chicago Bears have signed linebacker Dan Scuda to a 1-year deal. Scuda is an 8-year veteran playing the last two seasons with the Jaguars. The Jaguars. This scoreboard update brought to you by State Farm. State Farm here to help life go right. Join the Scores, Mully and Hanley broadcasting live from Dunkin' Donuts in Glenview on Friday, May 19th from 5 to 9 a.m. for the 15th annual Cop on a Rooftop event to raise awareness and donations for Special Olympics Illinois. Stop by the broadcast, enter to win great prizes. America runs on Dunkin'. I'm Matt Abaticola. You're listening to 670 The Score. Celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Cubs. The next game on The Score tonight, 7:05, Cubs and Rockies, right here on Chicago Sports Station.
All right, I'm trying to think. Which is it?
Don't think too hard.
No, let me. Was it the Bears over-unders on victories?
No. Although we should get into that before
we probably
we're done.
Should because, yeah. Uh-oh.
Can a team's dominance, and then in this case, two teams' dominance, be bad for a league? The questions are being asked about the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know we're going to talk to Dan Hayes here in about 10 minutes or so about the White Sox, so I'll be quick with this. Maybe we could jump back into it in the 5 o'clock hour. But what LeBron James has done to the Eastern Conference and what Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are doing to the Western Conference, making people ask a lot of questions about reseeding and just taking your top 16 teams in the NBA and making a playoff format. I don't know if I'd go as far as that, but I'll find the beauty in basketball. Even when Paul George, and this is why to me basketball is different when teams get swept. When the Blackhawks got swept, you know, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane were nowhere to be found. When a basketball team gets swept, it's usually not because the best player is nowhere to be found. So you still get a chance to see Paul George square off against LeBron James. His team just isn't good enough. Or you still get a chance to see another star go at another star. For instance, it's a 2-2 series right now, but I'm enjoying watching Kawhi Leonard and James Harden be on the same court. Now, are they going to be better than the Golden State Warriors? Who knows? I actually think that the Rockets, if they make it to the Western Conference Finals, that they'll give Golden State a run for their money, but Golden State will probably win in six. And of course, what LeBron is doing in the East, It's hard to fathom anything besides an injury stopping that team. But do you think the team's dominance can be bad for a league, especially in this instance?
I'm not a neutral party in this because I've already baked in that possibility when assessing my love for NBA playoff ball.
Right,
you know,
we should be talking to a casual fan with this question.
Yeah, then. To me, the redemption comes in the conference finals. That I can look. I know the Raptors are going to be all sweet and cute, and they're going to think they're really good, and they get all excited.
And they might be good, they're not Cavs good. Yeah, they're not LeBron good.
They know when to go.
Yeah,
some teams, the Atlanta Hawks. Ever since I've been a little kid, you can count on the Atlanta Hawks having some
in and out.
Some, you know, I'd watch Dominique Wilkins. I'd watch some of these guys. I love to watch.
And Tree Rollins and Kevin Willis.
They always knew when it was time to go.
Yep. And the Wizards will find out that they're not ready for prime time here soon when they beat the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I'm not mad about it. There have been a lot of lopsided games this playoffs. So face it, in general, there have not been really as many memorable playoff games this year as maybe we've had so far in other years. Mm-hmm. But I can slow walk it. You know, I know the conference finals are gonna be,
and then what the finals
appointment
are be.
Television, and then
right
then finals
Armageddon.
Yes, that's
where the Jordan conversation comes up. If that man beats the Golden State Warriors, and I know the Jordan conversation shouldn't be had. I've told people not to have it anymore, but if LeBron James beats the Golden State Warriors, we're back in that realm because the Golden State Warriors shouldn't be beaten by anybody in the NBA. And you can go back and talk like Stephen A. Smith did about the Ewing-led Knicks or mm-hmm. the Reggie Miller-led Pacers and how the resistance for Jordan was a lot more. I understand that. And maybe some of these teams are good. We're just seeing them run up against superpowers. Maybe the Raptors are good. I like DeMar DeRozan. He did revert back to what I always thought he was, though. A guy that if he's not scoring, really doesn't impact the game enough for you. And Kyle Lowry, he peaced out into his opt-out. He was gonzo. But we can get into it maybe a little bit later in the 5 o'clock hour because I know we got to talk a little baseball here with Dan Hayes. But it's one of those questions where I think I can objectively answer it, and I feel like, yeah, there might be something there, but I know what I'm waiting for.
Here is DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors with probably the understatement of the year.
If we had LeBron on our team, too, we went on. You know, we could say that. We could say that all day, time. Everything, but you know, we didn't. You know, it happened. You know, we got swept, and you know, it's gonna be one of them long summers for us.
There it is.
Well, we didn't have LeBron.
There it is.
Of course, we lost. Well, we didn't have LeBron.
Right.
We would have had him. Have you seen him? We would have won. That guy's awesome.
Yeah. If you guys had any balls, you would have won. Yeah, that team loves to curl up. They love to go in a little corner and just get in the fetal position. They are stupid and all things not tough in the worst moments. The worst moments.
Especially against
the
Bulls.
They're going to get Dwayne Casey's ass fired. And oh, by the way, speaking of, when your man Brad Stevens going to turn on that magic basketball machine?
Yeah.
They got 26-0 run? 26-0? Yep. I'm watching, and then 2 seconds later, they're getting dubbed.
Get a stop.
Like, that game was close, and then the Wizards are like, we're faster and better than you, and you're going to turn the ball over, and no one can do anything besides Isaiah Thomas. Where were the Bulls? Like, why were the Bulls thinking this? The Bulls made him guard. I mean, the Wizards made him guard somebody, and then they turned the ball over because they got nothing but bums out. Like, Kelly Olynyk is terrible. Like, Amir Johnson can't play. Like, Al Horford doesn't want to do anything inside the paint, and the Wizards found it out, and they're like, all right, we're going to do this. And they went on a 26-0 run against
NBA
the Wonderkin, against Brad Stevens. Oh, my God, it was so enjoyable.
This segment has been brought to you by the Knee and Back Pain Helpline. Learn how an insurance-covered, comfortable knee or back brace can reduce your pain. Call 800-888-KNEE. That's 800-888-KNEE.
knee. We will talk. I cannot help myself.
Little socks?
Socks. Little socks. Sex. Dan Hayes of Comcast Sportsnet next on Bernstein and Goff on the Score.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins, middays on the Score.
They're still very clearly playing below their capabilities across the board. It's not just the guys with the low OPS. They're like 26th in quality starts as a team. They've committed way too many errors.
Yes, all across the board.
Spiegel and Parkins, 9 a.m. to 1 on Sports Radio 670 The Score at 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Daniel here for my friends over at Chevy. If you ever wondered what it's like to have it all, well, the all-new 2018 Equinox was designed with your needs and wants in mind, from style and technology to performance and safety. The all-new 2018 Chevy Equinox offers the complete package. I spent a lot of time today talking about all the cool features like the available 4G LTE Wi-Fi to the hands-free rear liftgate, but perhaps the most important feature is the one we don't talk about enough sometimes, and that's the safety. The Equinox offers 10 active safety features to make sure you're safe when you're out there finding new roads. I mentioned the low-speed automatic braking feature. There's also the lane keep assist feature, which automatically helps you straighten out a bit if you unintentionally begin to drift. If you've got the rearview camera too, and park assist, and even side blind zone sensors. It may feel like the Chevy Equinox has you surrounded with the latest safety technology. That's because it does. There's even a surround vision mode that gives you a bird's eye view of everything happening outside your vehicle. You really can have it all. And with all those great safety features, that includes peace of mind. The all-new Chevy Equinox, it has everything you need to do everything you want from the most awarded car company 3 years in a row. Go check out my friends at Chevy and do it right now.
Patients coping with end-stage illness can't wait. Neither should you. Get the guidelines to hospice eligibility today. Go to VITAS.com/eligibility. That's VITAS.com or call 888-VITAS-80.
Visit Studio 41 in Highland Park or Logan Square, where you can choose from hundreds of vanities on display and in stock. Our experienced sales staff will help you select the products you need for the look you want and take it home today. Updating your powder room or remodeling your master bath, Studio 41 showrooms offer a great selection of vanities in a variety of styles from top brands, featuring the bold look of Kohler. To learn more, go to shopstudio41.com.
CBS Thursday. Don't miss the Emmy-winning Amazing Race with the biggest twist ever.
Go! Woo! Go! Go! Go!
These contestants are racing around the world.
This is going to be awesome.
With a total stranger they just met.
Are you kidding me with this?
We are the most oddballer combination here.
Now they're on the adventure of a lifetime.
I'm trying to meet you halfway.
Please. I'm calm down.
You should know. Telling me to calm down makes me worse.
I can tell.
The Amazing Race, CBS Thursday, or stream it live or on demand.
CBS Sunday.
Well, I got one shot at this, guys.
Let's do this.
The agents of NCIS Los Angeles.
Naval Criminal Investigative Service.
Know their mission.
You've got someone to find.
We need to go undercover.
Know their enemy.
You know what they're capable of.
We're running out of time.
And know no limits.
Going off book for this one, huh?
There is no book for this one.
Don't miss NCIS Los Angeles, CBS Sunday, or stream it live or on demand.
Play.it presents Showtime Championship Boxing.
Showtime!
Three podcasts connecting you with the fighters and industry leaders. On the Record with Paul Rivera.
We'll cover the lifestyle of boxing behind the scenes and hopefully a viewpoint that you don't get anywhere else.
From Brooklyn to the World with Pauly Malignaggi.
Many of you know me not only as a boxer, but as a commentator, broadcaster.
And The Reveal with Mark Kriegel.
When you sit down with fighters, more on a personal level.
They give up a little piece of their soul.
Download and subscribe to Showtime Championship Boxing at Play.it and iTunes.
CBS Monday.
I got the best donuts in Chicago.
Looking for service with a smile?
Do you have anything soy-based?
No, everything here is food-based.
Keep looking.
I'm going to help you bring this place into the 20th century.
You mean the 21st.
No, I don't.
So watch out.
It's my trademark.
Jalapeno.
Donut.
Feels like I'm eating the sun.
The donuts are coming.
So what's the pay?
Minimum wage.
Health insurance?
First aid kit.
Do you believe in profit sharing?
Yeah, I believe in it. I don't offer it.
Superior Donuts. CBS Monday or stream it live or on demand.
The CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley. Experience that sets us apart.
This was a gotcha attack, not a security breach.
Pilots warn against a rush to make changes.
Integrity that makes a difference.
The police agency Europol estimated that they're dealing with thousands of potential terrorists.
Bringing new understanding to complex stories.
The commanders here are worried that the extremists will launch a full-scale offensive.
The CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley. Original reporting.
The verdict is in. Tuesday's new hit drama is Bull.
Here comes the fun part.
He's not a lawyer.
It's not enough to tell the truth. You have to tell the truth effectively.
He's a jury consultant.
I change juries' minds for a living.
Critics say Michael Weatherly is charismatic.
I'm a big fan.
Witty and hilarious.
It's great to be me, isn't it?
It's a bullseye.
I'll see you in court. I'm looking forward to it.
Michael Weatherly is Bull. CBS Tuesday or stream it live or on demand.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
In this ball game, if they don't appeal it, is over. So now I think what they're going to do is they're going to say, bring it out. We're going to take another look at it.
Again, the call was out on the field. And so he is out, and that is it.
So we come in here. It's been a long road trip. And get swept by the Orioles, who moved to 20-10. The record now goes to 500 at 15-15.
It's not so bad.
It's all right. It's better okay. than people thought.
Yeah, 15-15. Right. Yeah,
bad weekend for Chicago baseball, but there'll be better times at some point, right?
There's always better times when Dan Hayes is on the air.
Oh, yeah. Hayes at CSN Hayes on Twitter. And with us now in the Home Run Inn Pizza Hotline. The champions are back. Cheer them out at Home Run Inn in Wrigleyville, just blocks from the park. Well, that was an unfortunate weekend, but still a reminder that the White Sox probably, Dan, are doing better than maybe even they thought they would to this point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that was a little bit of a snap back to reality there because, you know, they played great so far, but you look at the offense and who projects to really have more than a 330 on base, maybe three guys on this team. And I really think that at some point they had that great run of offense there, but I don't know how they can sustain that unless Avisail Garcia is this guy. And that's, you know, I mean, we've seen some flashes of it. That's been a great 5 weeks so far. And if he can do it, that's a huge help. Obviously, Jose Abreu looked like himself a little bit here for 2.5 weeks. And Todd Frazier and Tim Anderson really haven't done what they're supposed to do yet. And yet they had that good offensive run. But, I mean, this is a team that's going to struggle to score. There's just not a lot of on-base percentage. So they're going to have to do a lot of little things to take advantage of the minimal opportunities they're going to get. And I think we're going to see them run into stretches like this quite a bit. And also, I mean, you've got two guys who – key guys in your rotation who are injured and getting five innings out of Dylan Covey and Mike Pelfrey is at some point going to catch up with you. And, you know, when your bullpen's been this excellent, you don't want to burn them out. But it's going to happen when you play a lot of tight games. So they have played really well early on, and this weekend was pretty tough for them.
I want to go back to Garcia because first couple of weeks of the season, you know, we sat here and talked about it and people were like, see, Goff, look, he's what he's supposed to be now. And he got his plate appearances. And I said, all right, well, let's just see if the market will correct itself. But is it as simple as launch angle and trying to pull the ball with him? Or do you see the counterpunch that's going to be made by pitching where he's going to have to react?
I think there is. I mean, I think we're going to see. We saw him be a little bit less selective this weekend. He swung and missed at some high fastballs and a few pitches off the plate, and that's where he gets away from himself. And if he can stay with that eye that he has shown so far, I mean, he fouls off pitches, he makes guys work, and eventually does some damage and runs into stuff. And honestly, what he's done so far has been fantastic to watch because you get a glimpse of what they've been talking about, and it's not just a 7-day glimpse, but I feel like if he can avoid this big slump, and that's always kind of been his thing, you know, he goes into a big long spell, and if he can avoid that and just kind of remember what he's supposed to do, they've got a shot there. There's always been the talent, it's just been sustaining it, and consistency has not been his friend in his career. And I think we're going to see a market correction as far as how teams approach him a little bit. I mean, if he can't stay away from the high stuff, they'll go back to it. And and keep throwing it at him. And unless he adjusts, you know, it could hurt him quite a bit.
Meanwhile, Tim Anderson has been horrible.
Yeah.
And I know right now he's out and on the bereavement list dealing with the death of somebody close to him. That's sort of a nebulous situation. Maybe you know more. But we've been, you know, reading a bunch of slash lines, and this is the worst one I've looked at all day. He's batting 209. He's on base 235, slugging 287 with a yep. weighted runs created plus of 40. He's already cost the team almost a full win above replacement. He is negative 0.8. So this is, and I know they paid him, but forget that. If this were just somebody his age, this is a flashing sign to send him down. So I don't know if that's possible. I don't know where the options are. I don't know what's in the contract.
Maybe Tim knew what he was doing when he took that money.
But it happens.
He's like, I know my level.
It happened to Anthony Rizzo. It happens. Yeah, it happens to guys who become stars. But at what point do you say, you know, forget about the Moncada story? The story is get this guy right.
It's definitely something I'm sure they're considering, because you're right. I mean, if it keeps going that way, and you know, you look at the offense the last 12, there has been some improvement. It was somewhere around 271 with a 315 on base, but not much higher slugging. I think it was a 690 OPS. Still not very good, but there's been some signs there. But then you throw in what's gone on in the field, too, and he's had some really tough times all around in this first month. He said it on Saturday. The Chicago Tribune and I were talking to him on Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, and he said this is one of the toughest times he's gone through. And you know, there might be a breather put in there if it keeps going this way. I mean, you don't want your guy to come up, somebody you expect to be a cornerstone for you for, you know, 8 years. You don't want him to go through this for a long time and just start to doubt himself. And he said, I've always played and I've always dominated at each level I've been at. And he's definitely caught a little off guard by this, but at the same time, you know, if he doesn't show a correction, it's possible. I mean, and you've mentioned some guys that have gone to the minors and benefited from it. I mean, I saw Anthony Rizzo when he's with the Padres in his rookie season, and he totally lost his confidence. And, you know, you wouldn't have any clue that he experienced that in 2011 where he is right now. And it can definitely be a benefit. I mean, I remember Matt Williams way back with the Giants in 1989, and he couldn't hit a curveball for the life of him. And he was hitting with Will Clark and Kevin Mitchell in the lineup. I mean, this was a great lineup, and it was very well positioned for him to have some success. And they sent him back down the minors for 3 weeks. He came back. And if he hadn't been hurt, might have been a Hall of Famer. I mean, he had a great career. Guys can handle that kind of stuff. So I'm sure if they feel like he needs it, they wouldn't hesitate.
Yeah, to illustrate this, there are 182 qualified players per FanGraphs in wins above replacement. Tim Anderson is 180th. That means among all regular players, he's the third worst player in baseball. And if I look up here, 172 or 173 is Melky Cabrera, who's cost the team half a win. The last time we were looking at these particular numbers consistently was talking about Jeff Kepinger and what was going on with him after the White Sox spent some money on him. And he, for a long time, was one of the worst three players in all of the game. But it's just that's a place where, for a kid his age, like I say, it's okay. Just say, hey, you know what? Get yourself right.
Absolutely. I mean, and you know what? He's the kind of guy that can handle. I mean, he's a confident kid, and he's a smart kid. And, you know, that's one thing that they've always been excited about with him is how quickly he learns. So I would imagine there'd be initial shock and disappointment if it happened, but I also think he's the kind of guy that knows how to handle it if that's what they chose to do. I don't know if there's a timeline, if it's been discussed yet, because, you know, I mean, they've been on the road a lot, and there's just not a lot of people around to get these things. And even when we talked to Rick Renneria the other day about Dylan Covey and what and it's not something that I think we'll hear a whole lot about. You know, it's tricky when you're dealing with young guys, for sure.
All right, so Jose Quintana, a couple good starts, a couple bad starts. What do you take from him in the first, what, 5-6 starts so far?
Yeah, that's been rough. I mean, you look all around, and there's just been rough performances. Yeah. You mentioned Melky Cabrera. Todd Frazier struggled. He had a few games where he was good. It's surprising they're 15-15. But yeah, Quintana, I mean, and if you take into account that his two best starts came against the Royals, and honestly, the Royals' offense right now looks like a Triple-A team. I mean, they just They're not hitting the ball at all, but I still think that, you know, looking back at yesterday, I mean, Quintana, if you could run into bad luck in every way possible, he somewhat found it. I mean, he put himself in some trouble because he walked Machado and he walked Adam Jones and Machado back-to-back in the first inning. But then you get a couple bloop hits. You get the indecision play by Tyler Saladino at shortstop that should have been an error or a fielder's choice. They gave a hit on that. I mean, he ran into some strange situations early on, and that's a team that, you know, you don't want to give them extra chances. The White Sox gave them a couple, and Quintana just couldn't get out of it. And, you know, when you think about how ugly it was early on, the fact that he gave up four runs is impressive because, you know, you might see eight runs. Like Dylan Covey the night before gave up eight runs and or six. You know, it's just tough. So Quintana has been all over the map a little bit, and it's not too far off, but the walks have been a little surprising for sure. But, you know, the stuff is still there. It's just the command hasn't been as sharp. And for a guy like that, that's a really kind of eye-opening thing just because he has been such a guy that hits his spots his whole career and doesn't give in, and he just hasn't found that rut yet, that role yet, and has definitely been in a rut for a while here. So it's kind of hard to diagnose, but I still see the right stuff there. It's just the command hasn't been as pinpoint.
Yeah, one of the little tells that I look for is when I start to see a spread between earned run average and expected fielder independent pitching, tells me that guys there may be a regression to the mean. And Miguel Gonzalez right now and Quintana have identical 0.7 WAR numbers, but they also both have a noticeable spread there. Gonzalez goes from a 3.18 up to a 4.9 in xFIP. Derek Holland, even a 2.02 ERA, but a 4.76 xFIP.
Right.
Quintana, 4.46, 4.51. So he's been about who he's been. But to me, those are warning signs that, you know, so far you've been getting a little lucky with some of these performances.
There's definitely that. I think also that the shift has really benefited these guys. I did a story on it the other day. And Miguel Gonzalez going into his last start was the second most shifted pitcher in baseball. And all the guys are up there. And, you know, Miguel Gonzalez, before his last start, had 58 outs recorded or 58 results recorded in the shift so far this season. All of last year, Chris Sale had 105. So it just tells you how much the White Sox are kind of adapting to this rotation they have. They don't have the guys that are kind of blown it by people. So they're using this shift a lot. And honestly, it's really worked out well. I think James Shields was saying that, you know, he played for Joe Maddon, who basically invented this shift obsession. I mean, the shift has been around, obviously, since Ted Williams and way back then. But we've seen such an increase in it the last 8-9 years. And Shields said that Maddon and the Rays thought if it was 75% of the time that they were successful. Well, the White Sox, as of the day I wrote the story, their average against ground balls, opponents averaging were hitting 210. So the White Sox were being successful 79% of the time. And Joe McEwing has done a really good job getting these guys in some strange places and knowing where they're going to be. It's not just spray charts. They're using video scouting, and they're just pouring over all these guys. I mean, some of the stats that McEwing was spouting at me were extremely impressive, knowing what guys' tendencies were, and they've been on the ball so far. And you see the Miguel Gonzalez's and the Derek Holland's benefiting from it. I mean, Derek Holland, his strikeout rate is up, and he is healthy again, and those are real big keys. But I think the defense has been a big factor for him too.
Dan, great stuff as always, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Dan Hayes of Comcast Sportsnet, brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
All right, some old school sports stuff that happened this weekend. Your phone calls at 312-644-6767. And tonight's fun. It's the Bernstein and Golf Show.
We also have to get to some troubling stuff out of Vegas regarding the expectations for the Bears and what sometimes the smartest people in the room think about how good they might be. Not to mention, we also have another $50 gift certificate for Pro Flowers, and this one's on you. You got to remember to do this. These are your Sherry's Berries, $50 worth that you are going to give away at some point in the next hour as well, right?
Yes, I will.
Good.
Stay listening.
Sure. Yes, you got the score.
Golfers, Bolingbrook Golf Club and its award-winning driving range and golf academy are open for the season. Come be impressed with one of Chicago's premier golf facilities. From the amazing clubhouse to the rolling 18-hole course layout, you'll walk away impressed. Bolingbrook is the perfect spot for your next outing, and there's still some prime outing dates available. Make your plans to join them for their fabulous Mother's Day brunch. Hurry, space is limited. For more information or to reserve your tee time or Mother's Day brunch reservation, call 630-771-9400 or visit bolingbrookgolfclub.com.
You know, my mom has gotten a hold of emojis, and she sends me the smiley one. She sends me the laughing, crying one. She's my mom, and she's pretty damn awesome. Mother's Day is this weekend. Do something for your mom. I know what I'm going to do. ProFlowers has you covered with a special deal on roses. Impress her and show your appreciation with one dozen rainbow roses for mom. Choose the delivery date you want, and ProFlowers guarantees your flowers will arrive fresh and beautiful and stay that way for at least 7 days or your money back. These colorful roses come with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And if you really want to make a statement, you can double your roses and include gourmet chocolates for just $10 more. There's still time to get one dozen rainbow roses for mom delivered by Mother's Day. Click on the microphone in the top right hand corner and use my code. It's very simple, Jason G. You'll get these stunning flowers and free glass vase starting at just $19.99. That's right, proflowers.com.